13, it says, because he hath known my name. And you think, what's the big deal about that? Well, he knows who I am, and he loves me, and he knows my name. Nobody else in the world might know it. Doesn't really matter who knows it, but God knows my name, and he loves me. I'm thankful for that. Let's get our Bibles open tonight to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10, we're going to do a little introduction, and then we'll get right to Mark chapter number 10 in a few minutes. Mark chapter number 10. I don't know about you, but there's certain things that frustrate us in life. You know, I had this button on earlier. It's not coming on for a reason, you know that? That's okay, I can stand behind here. The batteries must be dead. So, some things frustrate you in life. There's a lot of things that frustrate me. But things that don't work right, that frustrates me. Not talking about the microphone here. I like a GPS because I'm not very, I don't pay a lot of attention when I drive. I know some people can do that. Some people can figure out the direction. I'm not very skillful with that. I like a GPS telling you where you go. One of the things I get most frustrated about is when the GPS tells you to go somewhere and they don't take you to the right location. And have you ever been there? I've been there. I'm sitting there in a location. I had no idea where I'm at. I'm thinking, okay, what am I supposed to do now? Because it told me I was counting on this machine to get me there, and it's just not there. And usually it's a mile or two over and things like that. You know, when it comes to honor, I think some of us think that we're going to the right place and that we're in the right place. But after we take a real good evaluation of ourselves, we find out that we're not honoring God with our lives. Instead, we are honoring ourselves. So the title of tonight's message is The Place of Humility, or The Place of Honor. The Place of Honor. You know, where is that place? We talked about in those verses in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, towards the end, it says, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I've come more and more in my life to understand I need God. I need God's mercy. I need God's grace. I need God to value what I'm trying to do. I want to please God with my life. And I want God to honor, as it's saying here, for them that honor me. I want to honor the Lord because I want him to bless what I'm trying to do. And we talked about what honor means. We talked about the respect side of things. We talked about weight and the idea that we're giving weight to what God says. We value God. And that's what I want God to do with my life, and give weight to what I'm trying to do, to value what I'm doing, and put a heart desire. Everything has a prelude in this world that we live in. The Bible says before destruction comes pride, before honor, though, comes humility. We looked the first week when we gave through the series, we talked about how to honor. Looked at the story of Samuel, looked at the story of Hannah, and looked at the story of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, that honoring means that we're going to give it our best. We're going to try to please. We're not going to give them second best. We believe, we honor them, we respect them. We want to give them the best we have. But also it talks about how we're going to try to please him. And then we talked about what we should honor. We talked about how we should honor God's word. And we looked at how Adam and Eve did not honor God's word. And we talked about how we can honor God's word. Last week we looked at who to honor. We talked about God the Father. Now I can find true honor in no other way than the way that God wants me to, than seeking God's honor. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. If we're going to fall, a haughty spirit means a fall. If we want to be honored God's way, we're going to have humility. We often have a false perception of what it is that God's calling us to be. Pharisees were great for this. The Pharisees thought they were being an honorable person. They thought in their lives they lived above reproach, even though their hearts were wicked inside. They cared about the outside, but not the inside. They really deemed themselves as honorable. They wanted people to worship them. They wanted people to honor them. They wanted people to look up to them. And one of the times in John chapter 5, most of us remember the story that the man sitting at the pool of Bethesda has been there for many years. Jesus tells him, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And he goes and he's carrying his bed. And the Pharisees say, you can't do that on the Sabbath day. And then they begin having this discussion back and forth. They find out Jesus did it. Jesus begins teaching them something about what true honor is. And he shows them that how they do not honor the Father because they do not honor him. And in John chapter 5, verse 44, I found a really interesting phrase. It says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And, you know, once again, this Pharisee was telling this Pharisee, you're honorable. But Jesus is saying, how can you believe or trust in them that give honor one to another, but don't seek the honor that comes from God? And so tonight, this idea, there is a place of honor, and there is a way to get to that place of honor. And thankfully, the Lord teaches us a lot about it. The Pharisees to whom Jesus was speaking were looking for honor in the wrong place. True honor cannot be found or could not be found from another. True honor comes from God. And that's what we should be looking. We should be looking to have God be pleased with what we're doing. Now, once again, if other God-fearing people are trying to please the Lord, then they will be happy with what you're doing. But the first and foremost, we should please God. Thankfully, Jesus mercifully and gently taught his disciples this regarding this matter of their pride and left a wonderful pattern here in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter number 10, you have the story where James and John asked Jesus, can we sit at the right and left of you? So in Mark chapter 10 is where we're at. Hopefully I said that right earlier. Mark chapter 10, we're going to read in verse 32, and we're going to see Jesus' response. But I want you to think about this. Jesus is talking about the most significant event that would ever take in mankind. He's telling them that he was going to die and that he was going to be buried and that he was going to rise again. And James and John, the only thing they could think about saying was, can I sit on the right and the left? He's talking about significance that would take the greatest significant thing that would ever happen in mankind. But the disciples were thinking about their own significance here. So let's look here. We'll read through this. Mark chapter 10, verse 32. The Bible says, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12. He brings them aside, the 12 of them, and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and they shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. So Jesus is telling them exactly what's going to happen. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come nigh unto him, saying, Master, once again, what are they worried about? They had just heard that their Messiah was going to die. What are they concerned about? Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. I think that sounds kind of interesting. He's saying, we want you to do what we want you to do. You know, whatever we want you to answer this for us. And Jesus says in verse 36, and he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? He said, okay, what is it that you want? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may, sir, sit on one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. And Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. Now, he's saying, look, you're going to do everything I'm going to do here. And he says, we can. Now, we remember what we learned about this past Sunday in the book of Acts. This is the James that's been crucified. This is the James that dies by the sword. So he does drink of that cup of martyrdom. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He changes gears here, and he's patient with them. He doesn't look at them and condemn them and says, you selfish, prideful people. I just told you I'm going to die for the sins of mankind, and all you can think about is where you're going to sit in the kingdom. I banish you away. He doesn't do that. He teaches them. He directs them. He simply redefines what exactly honor is. Because to sit on the right hand and the left hand of the king are places of honor. They are seeking honor. They are seeking honor to be able to lift themselves up above all the rest of the disciples. And Jesus here shifts gears and says, this is where real honor comes from. Let's look what it says here in the scriptures. And Jesus said unto him, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on the right hand, on the left hand, he's talking about to have these honorable positions is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Obviously so. Why? Because the other 10 wanted the same position. But Jesus called them to him. Once again, he hears the bickering, hears the complaining. He says, come here, let me teach you something about honor. And saith unto him, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Here in the scriptures and here in the story, we see that humility becomes before honor. Jesus is saying, you want these positions, but let me show you what true honor, the people that we're going to honor, is different. And you see the context that in verse 45, the most honorable man to ever live, Jesus says, look, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. Tonight, there's some things I think we can learn when it comes to this place of honor that can help us. You think about James and John. Who were they to say that? You think about James and John. They had gone out and they preached. At this point in time, they had performed miracles. At this point in time, they had sacrificed. They had left all. They had left their fishing business. They had left the security of their homes. They had recognition as leaders among the disciples. Yet they had not yet found the true place of where real honor comes from. Interesting enough, they were willing to lay down their lives. But why? And this, you can see that they wanted to serve the Lord. They wanted to learn of the Lord. But it doesn't seem like they're wanting to lay down their lives for his sake, but instead to receive a position. This is where I want us to be careful at. Even today, we find ourselves motivated by self-interest, self-indulgence, and self-honor. We have a false sense of self-sufficiency and pursue selfish ambition for the purpose of self-glorifications. We often serve others so that people will take notice of us. We often serve and do others so people will say, there's a good person. But as Jesus said to the disciples, said to the Pharisees, whose honor are you seeking when you haven't even looked for the honor that comes from God only? Here's some things I think can help us get to that place of honor. First thing, and these are probably things you've heard before, but helps us remind and maybe helps us deal with our pride. You say, well, what's the opposite of humility? Well, I think the opposite of humility, many people would say, be pride or arrogance, which I think you can make an argument for that. But I think the opposite of humility also is something that's called ignorance. Ignorance. James and John has forsook all. They've taken all. They did not know what they were supposed to do. And Jesus reminds them here and says, you had to first be a servant. And many times as Christians, we are seeking to be honored by God. And we're seeking to be humbled. But sometimes we do it ignorantly. And the idea that not because we're stupid, but instead it's because of a lack of knowledge. So tonight, let's look here what the Bible tells us about a place of honor. A place of honor begins at the bottom, not the top. Place of honor begins at the bottom, not at the top. And these are a number of verses that tell us this in the Word of God. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher, then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. I mean, this is where the place of honor is, a place where we sit there, we do not look at our own rights, we do not look at exalting ourselves and getting what we deserve, but the person who is abased, the person who humbles himself, that's the person God can exalt. Luke 1:52 says, he hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Think about the spot of John the Baptist. He was a powerful man, a powerful preacher. You know, he was the forerunner of Christ. He understood who he was, though. He understood who Christ was. You know, it says in Luke 3:15-16, as the people were in expectation and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. They were thinking in their mind, is this the Christ? Because of his powerful preaching and because of how he was turning the hearts of the men back to their heavenly Father. And John answered and saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John says, don't even put me in the same equation. Jesus Christ is the one that's coming, the Messiah that's coming. He says, I am nothing like them. I must decrease so he can increase. That's what he says in John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And this is the place of honors when we realize all our worth really comes down to our lives in Christ, or Christ in our lives. This is not a feigned humility where people have put-ons and have an air of worthlessness for the perceived advantage that it may provide. Of tempting humility or is to cause people to say, hey, look at that person, there's a humble person. John the Baptist here was saying, don't even put me in the same equation. I'm not even worthy to speak his name, much less latch his shoes. See, attempting humility and actual humility are miles apart. Humility defined simply as an accurate view of oneself. And that's what John's saying. You see a guy who's a preacher. You see a guy who came out to the wilderness and ate locusts and ate all these things. And you saw the work that God's done through me. He says, but it's not about me. It's about Christ increasing in my life and me decreasing. And in our Christian lives, if we really want that place of honor, if we really want to be a spot where we say, my life is going to get honor from God, God is pleased with what I do, he tells us it begins right here. It doesn't begin at the top. You start at the bottom and let Christ lift you up. Let God lift you up. That's what he did with John the Baptist. He lifted him up, and what did John say? I'm not even worthy to be able to latch his shoe. God honors John the Baptist. And later on in the story, what does Jesus say about John the Baptist? None greater born among women than John the Baptist. God lifts him up. Why? Because he's humbled. He's honored because he's humbled. Next thing I want you to see, not only the place of honor begins at the bottom, not at the top, I want you to think the place of honor begins with service. Place of honor begins with service. See, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. At times we may wonder why God appears to be continually against us. We may find that we have no success at all, and I think we need to ask ourselves this question sometimes. Is it because of the fact that God is trying to humble us? Could it be that God's plan to exalt you is thwarted by our desire to exalt ourselves? Let yourself be instructed and broken and rebuilt for only the thought that God is the one that we want the honor from. So what are you getting at, Pastor? I'm telling you that if God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The Bible says the place of honor begins with service. In Matthew 23:11-12, it says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. I mean, who doesn't like to be served? Who doesn't like to have somebody else taking care of you? I understand all that. But if we're looking for that place of honor, we have to have a heart mindset and a mindset that we're going to try to minister to others. We're going to try to serve others. And I know we work hard, and there are many people here that do a lot of different things, but it begins with understanding who we are and what God is. And also, it continues on with this service. Next thing I want you to see, and I hope this helps you a little bit, it talks about the place of humility comes with many advantages. It comes with many advantages. Say, Pastor, you're just trying to teach me to be humble so I'd be a better servant of God, or I'd be a better church member. You know, the Bible tells us this is the best type of life to have. Amen. The Bible gives us many times, many things that God says, here is the benefit of being humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, that he can exalt you. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Justified. I believe that a person be truly be born again must humble himself before under and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I know inside myself I cannot get to heaven. I'm putting my faith and trust in you. It's more than just a prayer. If a person's full of pride and trying to say he's accepting Christ, thinking that he's done something, I don't think he's truly getting it. Think for a moment. And go with me for a moment through these passages of scriptures. Talks about the benefits of them who humbly walk before God. First thing is, God lives with the humble. What do you mean? The Bible says in Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and the lofty, one that inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high. Now listen to where he say he's dwelling at. I think this is great. This is God, the high and the holy, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Now listen, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God is on your side. God is encouraging you when you have a humble spirit. God is the one reviving the spirit and reviving the heart. I mean, what benefits that is. Sometimes we get down. Sometimes we get lowly. Sometimes we get frustrated and upset. But many times we forget who we really are versus who God is. We feel sorry for ourselves. It is humbleness or humility is a prerequisite for the true riches and honor and fullness of life. The Bible says by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Keep on going. Look at a few more advantages here. It says, God listens to the requests of the humble. Of course, it is in 2 Chronicles 34:27. Now, this is when a king, a young king, was confronted with destruction or judgment because of the ways the Israelites had been living. The Bible says, because thine heart was tender, because thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. True judgment was coming to Israel, and Israel deserved it. But humbly, this person, this king, humbled himself before God. And God says, it's not going to happen right now. I think sometimes in the world we live in today, we truly need to humble ourselves and return back to the word of God as it talks about in Chronicles. And let God heal our lands. Psalms 9:12, second part of the verse says, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Think about some more of the advantages that come with humility. The humble are the recipients of more grace. But God giveth more grace, because he saved. God resisteth the proud, but God giveth grace unto the humble. I don't know about you, but something I've learned and I'm continuing on learning over and over is that I need God's grace. I need God's unmerited favor in my life. The last thing I need is God resisting me. I don't need God stopping and pushing against me. No, I need God's grace. And when we are prideful, the Bible says, God is going to resist you. God is going to stop and is going to be against you. I don't know about you. I don't need that. I need God. I need his grace. I need his unmerited favor in my life to be able to accomplish what he wants me to do. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace. Giveth grace to the humble. Now, pride is one of those things that is a very dangerous thing. Think a couple more advantages here. He exalteth, he lifts up, and he promotes the humble. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Humble yourselves in the mighty, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I don't know how better to describe it than just looking at his word, and he just tells us over and over, there's advantages to humble. He said, humility, you're going to let people walk all over you. Humbleness, you know, no, it's not going to get you anywhere. But see, that's the way man looks at it. The place of honor for God. And remember, who are we seeking's honor? Are we seeking man's honor or God's honor? The value that God has in what we're doing comes from a humble spirit. Honor comes after we are humble. He considers the humble to be truly great. The Bible says, whosoever therefore shall be humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know, I sit there and I read that verse and I think about that. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I wonder who's going to be the one that sits at that most exalted spot. According to what the Bible says, it's the person who's the most humble. And I think of people, I know sometimes we see people and we wonder, oh, that's the person that's going to have some great rewards. That's the person that's going to have a place of honor. But I still think it's some person that we probably never ever heard of. Some person that's humbly just served without needing recognition, needing to be lifted up. Someone who's just allowed God to take care of it all. Here's some suggestions about how to develop humility or how to be humble. Just some simple things. Look to serve instead of to be served. Looking ways that you can serve instead of looking at how you can be served. Stay fresh in your relationship with God. One of the worst things you can do is going to make you prideful is when you have a stale relationship with God. When you're not close to God, you're not going to see God for who He is. You're going to lift yourself up and you are not going to be humble. Find service to menial for you to do. Never find any service too menial for you to do. Never think something is above you. I think it's wonderful that Jesus showed us that example by going and washing the disciples' feet. Look for opportunities to serve that no one will know of but God. Look for opportunities to serve that no one will know of but God. I think many times our reward is here on this earth because we make sure people notice what we're doing. We got to be careful. Take the lowest position first. You say, Pastor, who in the world does all that? Well, Jesus showed us by example. He said in Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He had every right to be equal with God because he was God himself, but made himself of no reputation and took on upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. After he did all these things, even here when he came to this earth, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. What a perfect example of humbleness being exalted up. Every knee shall bow. And it's because he humbled himself and he did these things. But in verse number 5 it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Tonight, we've talked a lot about honor. We've talked a lot about what it means and how to show honor. We should put Christ first. We've talked about how we should want to please Him with our lives. And we've talked about, in past weeks about how to honor His Word and how we should honor the Father. But what really truly is honor? What is a spot where God will honor you? Like the first thing said, I will honor them that honor me. Or them that honor me, I will honor. What is that honor? Where is that place of honor? That's where I want to be at. I want to be in that spot where God says there is value with what He's doing. There is weight to what He's doing. I can bless this. I can bless this family. I can bless this ministry. I can bless this work. I can do. Where does that found? It starts at the bottom, not the top. It starts first with service. And there's great many rewards and benefits to it. But it starts with being a servant first and foremost. Let's remember these things tonight. Let's try to say, can I get to that place of honor? It's not like the Pharisees thought. They thought they were the most honorable around, that people should even bow down to them, or people shouldn't even walk on the same sidewalk. They thought that everything they were doing was great and wonderful, and everybody praised them. But Jesus said, why do you care about their praise? True honor only comes from God. Tonight, does God honor what we are doing? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.